Voters go to the polls for primaries in three states today. There's Mississippi voting, also in New Mexico. All eyes on the gubernatorial primary, where the Republican frontrunner Susan Martinez has taken a tough stance on immigration. Martinez is endorsed by Sarah Palin. But let's go to Alabama for some very closely watched races. Representative Parker Griffith will be on the ballot for the first time today as a Republican. Griffith switched parties last year. And one other race to look at, Congressman Artur Davis. If he wins the Democratic nomination for governor, he'll be the first African-American nominee for governor in that state. Joined now by Pat Duggins, the news director for Alabama Public Radio. So, Pat, tell us first about Parker Griffith. Why did he switch parties from Democrat to Republican?
Well, what happened, Celeste, was that he didn't like the idea that President Obama was pushing in terms of the stimulus packages and health care reform. He just thought those were just too big, too expensive. So he just kind of sat down and thought to himself, well, I feel more like a Republican than a Democrat, so he's going to go ahead and switch. Now, that for us, that kind of makes him sort of like Arlen Specter in reverse, because he's going Democrat to Republican. But he got elected back in 2008, and he bruised so many Republican egos by winning that when he switched, the Republican power base generally doesn't trust him. And since he's going away from the Democrats to the Republicans, the Democrats generally don't trust him. So it's going to be kind of interesting. He's basically alienated just about everybody, and it'll just be great to see how he does.
So it may turn out as it did for Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter, who lost his primary race. That's not the only interesting one. And as I mentioned, you also got Democratic Congressman Artur Davis. He could become Alabama's first African-American nominee for governor. And let me ask you, how much is race playing a role here?
It's almost a reverse of what you'd expect, Celeste, because Mr. Davis basically thumbed his nose at the four African-American political organizations that hold a lot of the political power and clout here in Alabama. And most of those groups have actually endorsed Ron Sparks, who is Mr. Davis's opponent in the primary race, and Sparks is white. So, and also Arthur Davis is the only member of the African-American Congress in Washington that went against Mr. Obama's health care plan. So he's basically just, you know, kind of going his own way. But we were talking about this in the newsroom the other day, and one of my reporters kind of hit it on the head when he said that Davis is spending more time running for governor than he is running for his party's nomination. So, again, it'll be very interesting to see how it all turns out.
Well, Pat Duggins, we've got some very, colorful, interesting, distinctive characters in these races, but what's the test here? Is it the viability and passion of the Gulf oil spill as being possibly a trend that's relevant to November? Is it race? Is it the Tea Party movement? Is there anything out of these primaries that's going to tell the tale for November?
Well, the axiom here in Alabama is that if you don't have political ads that are condescending and nasty, the voters simply don't listen to you. So that's why we get an awful lot of that. Alabama tends to be very religiously conservative. So along with ads that will pick on a certain candidate for having shady deals or getting donations from unrespectable places, they'll also go after them on the basis of their morality. I mean, Bradley Byrne, for example, is going for the Republican nomination for governor. And there's an ad out there that blasted him for supporting the idea of teaching evolution in schools. That's how the ads kind of go.
Okay, so Pat, I got to ask you about two candidates who are really using the internet in a viral way. Their campaign ads have been passed by more people on Facebook and through email than perhaps anybody else in the state. First is the Republican candidate for governor, Tim James. Here's his campaign ad.
I'm Tim James. Why do our politicians make us give driver's license exams in 12 languages? This is Alabama. We speak English. If you want to live here, learn it. We're only giving that test in English if I'm governor.
So some people have said that Tim James' entire campaign changed after that ad. Do you think so?
Well, let's put it this way. He got an awful lot of attention. I mean, like, at my last count, it was 896,000 hits on YouTube. But ironically, if you go for the English-only sort of bit that he's pushing there, Alabama is second only to Detroit in terms of U.S. auto production. But the cars that we make here are Mercedes-Benz, Hyundai, and Honda. And no doubt there are people who speak German, Korean, Japanese who are saying, well, there's gratitude for you. Thank you so much.
And they probably want to get a driver's license, too, I imagine. But let me play for you an ad from this other person. You're calling him the king of YouTube. This is Dale Peterson running for the position of agricultural commissioner, and here's his ad.
I'm Dale Peterson. I've been a farmer, a businessman, a cop, a Marine during Vietnam. So listen up. Alabama Ag Commissioner is one of the most powerful positions in Alabama, responsible for $5 billion. Bet you didn't know that. You know why? Thugs and criminals. And they don't give a rip about Alabama. We're Republicans. We should be better than that.
Okay, and if you haven't watched this YouTube ad, you might want to take a look at it. Peterson in the ad is riding a horse for most of it, and at the end he lifts up his rifle. Are people taking his campaign seriously?
Well, let's put it this way. He's using just about every catchphrase that you possibly can in a political ad. As you mentioned, he's on horseback, there's guns, there's service in Vietnam, there's corruption in Montgomery, there's farms, there's Bibles, and that is 1.3 million hits on YouTube. He's even doing better than Tim James. But the one thing that we're kind of like giggling about in the newsroom is the musical score in the back of the piece. It's kind of representative of what Elmer Bernstein and the Magnificent Seven. So we're just loving it down here.
So let me ask you about this. As the primary results begin to come in and we see what the political picture is down there in Alabama, at least until the vote in November, are these races local, as we hear so often about politics? Are they going to give us any idea about how the state will go in the midterm election this in November?
Actually, they're not, because here in our newsroom, we ran a series of two-way interviews last week talking about the issues that most people in Alabama would like to talk about, but they are notably devoid from any of the campaign rhetoric or the campaign ads. We have tax problems here in Alabama because the tax base basically hits the rural poor more than anybody else. Constitutional reform. We have a state constitution, I'm not kidding, with over 800 amendments to it, and everybody's talking about trying to make it a little bit more streamlined.
Everyone can be a part, you know, 800 amendments. Everyone can have their own amendment in the state.
Absolutely. Pat, and then there's economic development. Economic development, because they're talking about, like, you know, the biggest export here is educated Alabamians. So, I mean, there's a lot to be done. We're just waiting to see if the lawmakers will do it.
Quickly, Pat, is Richard Shelby campaigning down there? He's a Democrat-Republican convert. He can have his pick of the candidates.
He's virtually considered to be a lock. I mean, he's one of those people who's considered politically untouchable.
But is he endorsing anybody?
Not that I've heard, but I know that he's right now trying to save the Constellation program, which is NASA's return to the moon, so he's got his hands full with that.
Pat Duggins is the news director for Alabama Public Radio. He's the author of a forthcoming book that has nothing to do with politics. It's called Trailblazing Mars, NASA's Next Giant Leap. It comes out this year. Thanks so much, Pat.
Thank you, Celeste.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.